The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins, and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Our sermon text today is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. The sermon title is "The Temptation of Jesus." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, temptation is a key theme in many major works of literature. Nick Gatz, the main character in F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby, succumbs to the temptation to make his fortune through connections with the criminal underworld because of his love for Daisy Buchanan. Prince Hamlet, the main character in William Shakespeare's Hamlet, succumbs to the temptation of revenge for his father's murder by killing his uncle after being poisoned by him. Anakin Skywalker, the main character in George Lucas' Star Wars films, succumbs to the temptation to use the dark side of the Force, which then overcomes him. Frodo Baggins, the main character in J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, ultimately succumbs to the temptation to use the One Ring of Power, just as he is about to destroy it. But he's saved by Gollum, who gets it himself. Temptation is also a key theme in the Bible. Unlike the fictional stories just mentioned, the temptations in the Bible really happened. First, the entire drama of salvation history began with Adam and Eve succumbing to the temptation to be like God. We must remember that Adam and Eve were created morally perfect, so this was no ordinary temptation. Second, each of the major characters in the Bible were confronted by temptations, some of which they resisted and others which they succumbed to. Third, as our gospel lesson recounts, God's own Son was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness by Satan, resisting all the way. Jesus is the first and only human being to resist temptation completely and perfectly. Now, a little bit of context is helpful in understanding our text. In the verses preceding our text, Matthew 3, 13 to 17, we are told the story of the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. At the end of Jesus' baptism, he emerges out of the water with the voice of the Father from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Then immediately following, in verse 1 of our text, the Spirit of God, who had descended from heaven in the form of a dove, leads Jesus out into the desert. Jesus did not intentionally confront Satan as if he were challenging him to a duel. The Spirit told him to go, and so Jesus went. There in the desert, Jesus met the devil. The devil had been there at Jesus' baptism. He had heard the voice of the Father, and so he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Luke 4, verse 1 tells us that Satan tempted Jesus for 40 days. So the three temptations in our gospel are just the final three in Satan's arsenal when Jesus was, humanly speaking, the weakest. Satan demonstrated his audacity by thinking he could tempt God's own Son to sin. But then, Satan was successful in causing the perfect Adam and Eve to sin. So, if he could do that, why could he not successfully tempt God's own Son in human flesh? The fate of the entire human race hung in the balance as Jesus decided whether to resist or succumb to temptation. The first temptation of turning stones to bread makes little sense unless you realize Jesus' weakened physical state. After 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, Jesus could hardly walk. There was a good chance that without food, he would not be able to walk back to civilization, and so would perish in the desert. This was not just a craving hunger. This is a matter of survival. It was also a test of Jesus' trust in his Father's providence. Would the Father provide food for Jesus in his time of need, like the Father provided a ram to Abraham when he was about to kill Isaac? Or would Jesus have to fend for himself by making bread from stones? Jesus trusted in his Father's providence and so resisted temptation. At the end of our text, the Father did send angels to feed Jesus and care for his needs because he was about to die of starvation. The second temptation of descending into the temple courts from heaven appealed to Jesus' religious mission, his vocation as the Messiah, which he firmly believed in. The Jews were expecting their Messiah to come down from the sky, most likely to Jerusalem and most likely to the temple. Of course, where else would the Messiah appear? There would have been no better way for Jesus to have received immediate and absolute acclaim than by succumbing to this temptation. They would have crowned him their king and high priest, and then he would never have suffered and died for our salvation. And then Jesus' religion would have been characterized by glory and power, not by dishonor and the cross. The third temptation of bowing down before Satan appealed to Jesus' ultimate goal and mission of becoming the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all the earth and over all mankind. That's what Jesus was eventually going to do. Satan appealed to the desire to dominate, and Satan thought Jesus couldn't resist that. If Jesus was God, how could he resist being the Lord of all? But Jesus demonstrated the perfect servant's heart by refusing the ultimate offer of domination. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6:13, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus would only serve his Father, not himself, nor any other. What Christian doctrines are we taught in this gospel lesson? First and foremost, we are taught that Jesus was morally perfect and holy, beyond our imagining. Jesus' perfect obedience in all things, along with his sufferings and death, are the merits by which God justifies those who have faith in him, as we've just heard in this hymn. If Jesus had not been perfect and had not perfectly resisted temptation, his merits would not have the ability to pay for our sins and the sins of all the world. Second, this gospel lesson teaches us that Jesus was really and severely tempted. He was also tempted later in life, as Luke chapter 4, verse 13 tells us. The writer to the Hebrews explains the importance of this doctrine. I quote, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Hebrews 4:15. Jesus understands every temptation you may face in life, since he has known that temptation from personal experience. Therefore, your prayers for help in temptation do not fall on deaf or uncaring ears. Jesus cares, and he knows what it's like. What is the law application of this text? The law comes in the form of a mirror. When you and I compare our ability to resist temptation to Jesus' ability, we come up short, far short. And as you know, I'm shorter than most of you. The fact that Jesus could resist all temptations, and you and I can't, indicates the depth of our sinfulness and spiritual weakness. And we're always like this until the resurrection. When it comes to spiritual goodness, Martin Luther, on his deathbed, wrote his last words when he said, "We are all beggars." This is true. We are all, as we confess every Sunday, poor, miserable sinners who deserve nothing but hell, damnation, and eternal separation from God. What is the gospel application of our text? The gospel comes in the wonderful news that Jesus resisted temptation, not for himself, but for you and for me, for our salvation. All that Jesus did there in the desert, in a spiritual battle with Satan and the forces of evil, were done so that you and I could receive forgiveness for all those times when we succumb to temptation. When we receive forgiveness, then we also receive eternal life and eternal salvation. Some Christians think that when they become believers, they receive the power to resist all temptation, which they call today the victorious life. Now, it is true that, quote, faith is a divine work in us that transforms and begets us anew from God, kills the old Adam, and brings the Holy Spirit. That's from the Formula of Concord, Solid Declaration 4, Section 10. But it is also true that, quote, we live in the flesh, and we have the old Adam hanging around our necks. Large Catechism 3, Section 102. And so believers daily sin much, as we admit every Sunday in the confession section of the divine service. Luther warns us in the Large Catechism, and I quote, we Christians must be armed and prepared for incessant attacks. Then we shall not go about securely and heedlessly, as if the devil were far from us, but we shall at all times expect Satan's blows and parry them. Even at the present, I am chaste, patient, kind, and firm in faith. The devil is likely in this very hour to send such a shaft into my heart that I can scarcely stand it. For Satan is an enemy that never stops. But prayer can resist him and drive him back. Large Catechism 3, 109 to 111. So we thank and praise God in this season of Lent that Jesus perfectly resisted the devil in all things, including the worst trials in his suffering and death, so that we may finally overcome the devil when we are resurrected in the new creation. In Jesus' name, amen.